another episode of How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm Madison, and today I'm joined by Tristan Tanner, a freelance social media manager who has over 5 years of experience in the industry. We discuss management platforms and the when, how, and why of hiring someone to manage your social media for you. So as a business owner, you may be your own social media manager. In today's episode, we'll be talking about the tools that you can use to make these tasks easier on yourself. I've brought in my friend and colleague, Tristan Tanner, to help me cover these tools. Tristan, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, especially in the world of social media, it kind of fell into my lap. A friend of mine owned a business and needed help. And so in college, I worked for her and had to figure a lot of things out on my own. At the beginning, and then I got the opportunity to come and intern for 3E Social with Lisa Brown. I literally answered an intern email, got in a program, and was able to work for her through my victory lap in college. And then once I graduated, she hired me full-time, and I worked for her as a social media coordinator for 3 years. We did Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google, Pinterest, LinkedIn,
everything.
Oh my gosh. And At one point I had like 30 different clients who each had multiple different accounts that I was having to check every day. Mm-hmm. And then now I am part of the marketing team at the Rustic House and part of their sales team as well.
And you do a little bit of freelance too, right?
Yes, I do still have some of my freelance social media clients.
Mm-hmm. And Rustic House is your full-time job.
Yes, so. I do have a full-time job that I enjoy.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and dive right into some of these tools that business owners can use for social media management. Today, let's just give some brief general information and maybe do like a pros and cons of each of them. Starting with Planoly, I've used that for Instagram, but you can use it for Instagram or Pinterest. It's free if you upload less than 30 times a month, which was perfect for what we were doing. But there are levels beyond that. So if you're posting more, there are definitely options for that. My favorite feature was the hashtag manager. So if you have what I call content buckets, say one of our content buckets is about our podcast, actually, I can set specific hashtags that are related to podcast, and Planoly would automatically tag the post with those hashtags. So that was my favorite feature. Tristan, you have experience with Planoly too, right?
Yes, that's definitely an amazing feature to have, so that way you don't have to go every time to your Word document or whatever and pull them. They're already there, already easy to add. And they can also help you with the hashtag research, so you're not using a bunch of ones that are not relevant to you. And also, like, you can upload some of your photos in there so that you can see. I really like their calendar planning tool, so that you can like see the picture, how it's mm-hmm. going to be and when it's going to be. Because like some other tools is just a line and all you see is the first line and you're like, what picture did I put with that? I don't remember because I've been doing so many of these. But that I like that you can see the entire calendar for the month and how you're going to mm-hmm. do it. It was a fun little experiment thing to do with a few different companies that I worked with. And
yeah, and it shows what it looks like on your actual profile too. You can yes. see how it's going to line up in your grid, which if you are trying to be really aesthetically pleasing, that might be something that you're looking for. I will say one of the cons to Planoly is that you can only use it for Instagram and Pinterest, which for us, that wasn't working because we also have a Facebook profile. So that's kind of limiting there.
Yeah, most people have Facebook, Instagram, at least. Then you go into Twitter, Pinterest, whatever. Yeah, if you're kind of limited to two, it may not be the best for you if you're doing that. But I have been in the position where you scheduled on one platform and then moved that content to another platform just because it had different things that you liked about it to use. Like Planoly has the hashtag.
Yeah. So I was using Planoly just for Instagram, and then I was using Facebook Business Suite for Facebook, and then Facebook merged with Instagram.
I was definitely doing that until that feature finally came around.
Right. So I guess let's just jump into that one. I really like it because it's not like a third party platform. It's directly owned by Facebook and Instagram. So all of the features are there. And you don't have to pay for those extras. Like, it's a free tool to use.
And you're already in there. So if you make any errors whatsoever, you can already go back and fix it because you're in Facebook, you're in Instagram, you're just on the back side of it. Mm-hmm. And there are other little tools that you can do. Like, say your people are more active on Facebook at this time and more active on Instagram at this time. You can schedule them at like in the same place, but to go at different times.
Right. And you can change the the copy with that too,
yes,
specific to Facebook and Instagram. I really like that feature because on Instagram, you know, you can't link to things. You have to say like link in bio or whatever.
Which is so like hard. And then your tagging is different because if you tag a, like say you're gonna promote a business and tag them, mm-hmm. You're gonna tag their like the word, the entire name of the business in Facebook, but you're gonna tag their little Instagram name on it. Mm-hmm. So it's better to be able to edit in both the places on there. And then it will also give you the preview of what it looks like on desktop, mobile for both everything. And if you're going to do an ad, it'll give you the preview for that as well. So it gives you every different preview that you need to see versus some other things can't offer you the preview.
Right. If you can't tell, Tristan and I are big fans of Facebook Business Suite. That's the platform that both of us use. I will say the one downside to it is it wasn't very intuitive to learn. You really had to dig in and play around before you could figure out all of the features. But now that I've been using it for about a year, I feel really comfortable with everything.
Oh yeah. When it first came out, I was like, oh my gosh, this is finally here. This is finally here.
Life-changing.
But there was still some like kinks they had to work out. Like mm-hmm. you couldn't, there was at one point where at the beginning where you couldn't go back and edit certain parts and you had to like restart over, but now you can edit. And so they're still working through the things, but since their platform, you have the most control and are able to do the most from one place.
Right. So you've also used Later, Sprout Social, and Hootsuite. Let's dig into Later. Can you tell me a little bit about that one?
Later is probably the best place for resources. Like absolutely best for industry trends, different things like that, that you need to know. Like people often ask, when's the best time to post? How many post? What kind of post, et cetera. Later is going to be great for resources for that. They do offer some scheduling planning tools, but again, Facebook Business Suite is better in my opinion, because mm-hmm. like Facebook limits the third party platforms that you can only do so much with them. Like right. Hootsuite used to be like the top one because you could do everything from one place. You could edit, you could comment, you could share, you could do everything from there. But then Facebook was like, we don't want people having as much control of our stuff.
Right.
We want to hoard that for ourselves and make more money.
mm-hmm. I will say it's also the only platform that I could find that allowed scheduling for TikTok,
oh, yeah.
which That's I've rare. Never heard of before.
That is rare. They started that, I think, this year. We kind of thought TikTok was going to go away there for a minute.
Right.
But now that it's... RIP to Vine.
So just to recap, Later allows you to schedule posts for Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and TikTok. So if you're on all of those platforms, that might be the one for you. I would say it's also very similar to Planoly in regard to pricing structure, where you have that option for free. And then there are a few more lower price tiers, like $7, $15, $23. So really not a huge investment in context of how much you can schedule. And again, it's the only platform that I've seen offer TikTok scheduling.
And a lot of people right now, that is really important to some people.
Mm-hmm. You've also used Sprout Social?
I've used it more for like a learning platform. They have a lot of tools that you can use for learning about this industry and which best tools. I have not specifically used them for scheduling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I do see, like you said, that they can use it for scheduling LinkedIn. And there's not a whole lot of people that offer LinkedIn scheduling like right. Later does, Sprout does, but that can be very beneficial to people who are very active on LinkedIn because mm-hmm. you don't really necessarily have the time to go out of your way every day to post on there. So that's a really great feature to have.
Mm-hmm. I will say though, Sprout Social is one of the more expensive scheduling platforms that I've seen. The base level is $99 a month. So I can see why people would shy away from that, especially if you're a small business owner, you're not really wanting to invest that much because that adds up over time. But it also includes CRM features. So it's not just for social media. So if you're looking for a platform that has those capabilities as well, instead of buying a social media platform and a CRM, that might be an option for you. And I've heard great things about their reports. So if you're a larger organization and you need to report to your boss, or you are the boss and you need people to show you the reports because you have someone internally managing the social media, this could be a great platform for you. So next we have Hootsuite, which is, I would say, is very similar to Sprout Social, but it's not as pricey. It's still pricey a little bit. It's $49 a month. But again, you have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and YouTube posting capabilities. And by far, it's the most popular one. Whenever you say scheduling platform, most people think Hootsuite.
They have been around the longest, and they have a whole lot of great features with them. One of the things, like if you're a small agency, Hootsuite is probably like the best for you because you can add all of your different accounts for all of your clients under one place. Mm-hmm. And so you can make different tabs and be like, here's company B, here's all of their socials that I can see right here. I can see my scheduling. I can see what I've already posted. I can see what the newsfeed is for them. You can see every different one for each of the different things. It's just different tabs, kind of like it on a Google Chrome feature. Like it's just tabs that show different Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram, Twitter. So it's great for people who are like a small agency who have different clients and want to see everything in one spot.
I could see that it would be a good option for businesses that have different umbrellas.
Yes.
Okay, so there are two more that I want to mention. I feel like we could talk all day about the different platforms because I've seen lists of 50 different platforms, but I think everyone should be doing their own research, make sure that you're comfortable with the features that you're getting at certain price points. But I wanted to mention Canva because I know a lot of people use that and it's not really a scheduling platform, but they do have a scheduling feature. So if you're already creating some of your content in Canva, it's really easy to go in and hit the schedule directly to Facebook, schedule directly to Instagram from within Canva. So I just wanted to mention that tool, especially if you're already paying for it.
Oh, yeah.
Why not use that feature?
I use Canva a lot.
Yeah.
And the paid feature is definitely worth it. It's so simple to use. It's like your own little Photoshop, but so much more simple for mm-hmm. people who don't have the time to learn Photoshop. And still good quality and lots of different resources on there that you can use different tools.
Yeah, especially with the paid side, you can add brand colors and...
I have brand fonts, brand mm-hmm. colors. You can upload your own images in there to then edit and use your fonts and put them on there however you need to for different posts.
I think the free one is good to get your feet wet, learn what you're doing in Canva, and then once you're ready to use those extra features, go ahead and do it because that's such a small fee, I think. And then lastly, I want to mention Thrive. They're another platform that is not exclusively for social media management. They're actually a CRM software, but they offer a social media management feature. And that ranges from about $200 to $500 a month, which again, that sounds like a lot of money. But whenever you put it in context that you're also getting a CRM software, it could be really beneficial to you. And our clients at the Small Business Development Center get a 20% discount.
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely paid for separate CRM softwares and then multiple different scheduling softwares. So mm-hmm. if you could get it all bundled into one, that's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah. Okay, so Tristan, what do you do if you can't do all of the social media management on your own? Like these tools are good to know about and good to use, but then at a certain point as a business owner, you have a lot of hats and social media might not be your forte. You need to either outsource or maybe hire someone to do that. So maybe we could talk a little bit about why you should hire a freelancer or why you should hire an agency.
You should definitely figure out which one's better for you, a freelancer versus an agency. A freelancer may like have more heart into it, but an agency may have a whole lot more resources to offer you. And you just need to like look around and see which one's better for you. You definitely want to go with someone who is local and knows your brand. Definitely needs to know your brand wording, and depending on what you need for them to do, whether like how to respond and what wording and stuff to use. Mm-hmm.
Right. I would say definitely in that first meeting before you ever sign a contract or hire someone, you should be asking a few specific questions and they should be asking you some questions too. Like if they show up and they're like, yep, I'm ready to do this. That's probably a red flag.
Unless they can sit here and just lay out all this research that they have done on your company. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just they need to learn you first before anything is signed, sealed and delivered. You need to know that they will work for you.
Right. Okay. So whenever you worked for 3E, what were some of those questions that you were asking small business owners who were trying to partner with you to run their social media?
Really, what do you want out of us? What the way our agency was we were a kind of like fill in where you needed. We could do everything that if you wanted it, photography, videography, scheduling, responding, whatever we could do, consulting, we could do just responding, could do just Facebook, just Instagram, just whatever. So it was really like, what are you needing? Mm-hmm. What do you need out of us? Where are the gaps that we need to fill? Is photography something that we need to do? What is your budget? Do you have your own photographer? Budget is a very big thing because an agency may cost more than a freelancer. Is it an hourly? Is it a monthly fee? A whole lot to discuss up front.
Yeah. And as cheesy as this may sound, the vibes that you get from someone are important because person is almost like an added employee. You're going to be talking to them very frequently. And if you don't enjoy the interactions that you have with them, it's not going to be a good relationship.
Yeah. And if you are in a contract with them, you might not like them and be stuck with them for a while. They might put on a good front and say all the right things up front. Also, you want to get them to show you, like, I grew this company from 1,000 followers to 10,000 followers in X amount of time. Or, hey, like, what's some reach that you've gotten for some people? Show me an example of some ads that you've done, photography you've done, videos you've done. Mm-hmm. Get them to show you examples so that you know that they're not just all talk, that they have the proof to back it up.
Right, right. And if it sounds too good to be true,
it probably is. If they I guarantee you I can get you 10,000 followers in a week.
You'll go viral.
Yes. All the time people would ask, can you make me go viral? I'm like, that's not how that works.
Right.
It's not like you click a button or do a magic ad like to just get a million followers overnight. That's not how that works.
We can make you go viral, but you're going to be paying a lot for it.
Yes, and it will be a lot of work.
Right. So what are some other questions that should be asked in that first meeting?
Person taking over my account, will they be looking at it every day? Will they be answering all the questions? Will they be answering all the comments? One great feature with Facebook to get free followers, so you don't have to pay for an ad for followers, is anyone who interacts with your post, you can go back and invite them to like your page. Mm-hmm. Don't overdo it. You will get blocked on Facebook. I have been in Facebook jail before. Don't do that. But it's just a great way to just get organic followers. These people have already engaged with your page. They've already shown interest in you. Just be like, hey, like you showed interest in me. Would you like to follow me and see more without kind of saying that? And you need to do it acting as your page, because if you don't, like, it will be like, Tristan asked you to follow the Rustic House. And that's just.
And they're like, who's Tristan?
Exactly. And just like, will they be responding to all of your comments? And you need to provide for them the answers to some of the questions. Like, yes, there are automated questions on Facebook, or there is some stuff on your website that you can like quickly go find, phone number, email address, whatsoever. But if it's not like easily ready for them to find it on your website or whatever, give them a list of like common questions that are not common enough to put on your frequently asked questions page, or your frequently asked questions page is too long and you don't have the room for it, but stuff to ask, and so that they will know about your business and know how to answer in the proper wording and direct your customers or your clients to in the right direction.
Right. And that goes back to strategy and creating your brand voice before you ever start creating content. Because if you've created your brand voice, it's really easy to then tell a freelancer or an agency or even an employee that's handling your social media, these are the guidelines that you should follow. So again, you want to create your strategy before you create your content.
Yes, you need to create your branding. And one example is, I'm from the South. I say y'all a lot. And some of my clients that I've worked with were like in New Jersey, and I can't respond, hey y'all, how are you? You can't say that because they'll just be like, who is this person? Where are they from?
Right. Oh, they're definitely from Tennessee.
Yes. Well, and some of the times, like, I've interacted as that business and no one knows that that's me. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I interact with Rustic House, it's like, thanks, girl. Like, people saying that to me because they think that I'm the owner,
right?
A woman. And so it's really kind of comical. And I just laugh when I see that.
Right. But that's good, because Emily of Rustic House has created a brand voice and you've implemented that in your messaging. So people think that it's Emily responding.
Sometimes I have to go back and like, wait a second, before I click send, I'm like, oh, wait, that's me talking. Gotta go back and fix it to be the Rustic House.
Right. So, okay, taking that back to questions that should be asked. If an agency or a freelancer is going to be responding to your messages, making sure that they know how to respond. Are they going to take the time to actually implement your brand voice and be consistent?
You also need to teach them how to respond to negative comments.
Yeah,
there's always going to be somebody who's negative. Does not. It's too shiny. It's too good. It's too whatever. There's always going to be someone complaining about something. So you just need to like have them trained to know what to say or where to reach out, or maybe like, appreciate your concern. please email us at this for a follow-up, and so we can get this straightened out for you if that's what it needs to be.
Right.
Another question to ask is, have you worked with someone in my industry before? Like, have you worked in the hospitality industry, the food industry? Have you worked with someone who does sales online? Because that's another thing a lot of people do, is they sell things on Facebook and Instagram, or they do ads that go directly to their website for Facebook, Instagram. Pinterest is another one as well. So you need to ask them, like, have you worked with someone who sends people to a website to purchase an item, not, or a service, depending on your industry? And can you show me how well you worked with them? How long did you work for them? What were some of the good features that you were able to provide for them without going into too much information on that other company? Or
Right. Confidentiality. I would say, not only have you worked with someone in my industry, but have you worked with someone before? Because I see a lot of new companies and it's like, okay, that could be a great option for a really small business that doesn't have a big budget. But again, you're getting what you pay for. You're getting someone that doesn't have a lot of experience. Like, they've just started out. So you need to be getting that intro level pricing for their services, I think, in my opinion.
I've definitely seen a whole lot of people who messaged different companies that I've worked for. Hey, I'm a freelance social media person, I'm just getting started, who reached out, and they were reaching out on social media platforms looking for work. And so it's just like, okay, if that happens to you, kind of hear them out, see what they have to offer. But if they're new, be like, hey, maybe we want to do a trial and see how this goes, see how this, because we have a lot of small businesses here who can't afford a big agency or a expensive freelancer. So maybe that is the road that they need to go on. Or maybe they need to, like, in my case, I was an intern, was able to get in that position, and I wasn't working for an agency. So that was a little different than having someone in your business as an intern, just doing social media, because they're not going to be there that long.
Yeah, I do want to touch on that. Marketing interns, because I hear a lot of businesses, like, once a week, they say, I'm looking for an intern because I need someone to do my social media. And I think that's fine. I think you can get someone really knowledgeable that's still in school, maybe. I understand that you're trying to find someone who is not an agency. They're not going to be as expensive. But this person is an intern. They should not be the only person that has control over your social media, because then they're the ones determining your brand voice.
Maybe a good thing for an intern would be to just manage it, to be the person responding, to be the person checking it every day, but not necessarily the person creating the content and being in total control of it.
Or the strategy. Yeah. Yes. You as the business owner should create the strategy that the intern then implements.
Yes.
But I see a lot of business owners wanting the intern to do everything for them, and oftentimes they don't want to pay them that much either.
No, and then they're not gonna, like, it's an intern position, it's not a full-time position. So once they graduate college and go find a full-time position, you're out that person and have to start the search all over again. So it's good to just have that person, like, on your team, but not be your only egg in that basket.
Exactly.
We would get asked a lot when we were doing consulting, should I hire an intern? Like, my college kid's friend or whatever, they're very active on social media. They know a lot about it. Just because they know a lot about social media doesn't mean they know a lot about business social media. That's a completely different aspect, completely different ways about algorithms and different ways that things go through.
Right. So that goes back to, you know, finding the right person, and I guess strategy. Like, we keep coming back to strategy.
You need a strategy. You need one, like, maybe a month in advance, but also, like, just because you have your strategy, you could schedule however far in advance you want. Just because you scheduled a month in advance does not mean you don't need to look at it every day. You never know what the weather's going to be. If it's pouring down raining, you should not be talking about how beautiful and sunny it is. If there's, like, a natural disaster going on in the world, you should not be talking about something, like, happy and cheerful. It's kind of,
it's sensitive.
Really hard. Yeah, you need to be sensitive to what's going on. Yes, go ahead and schedule all your posts. Have your strategy planned out, but also be aware of what's going on and just take that post and just move it to a different day.
Yep. Just delay it a little bit.
Because you've already put in the work for it. So just move it to when it's a more appropriate time to use that.
Okay. So again, if you as the business owner are not able to take on the role of social media management, you might be looking for someone to outsource these things to, but you should determine ahead of time, before you even meet with someone, what you're wanting them to do. Are you just wanting someone to consult you on if your current strategy and content and analytics look good? Or are you looking for someone to do all of the work. Like, they are going to develop the strategy, implement that strategy, and then just share the results with you. So determine that ahead of time, and also determine what your budget is going to be for that.
Absolutely. You do not want to break the bank, but this is a pay-to-play game. If you do not pay for those boosted posts or those boosted ads, I wouldn't say it's a waste of time, because you need a presence, but you're not going to get the reach you're looking for. You're not going to get the engagement you're looking for. You're not going to gain followers doing that. You have got to pay to play, especially with Facebook.
Let me give an example, very anecdotal, about us at the TSBDC. We don't have a marketing budget, so everything that we've done has been organic, and it has been very slow. For reference, I started our Instagram page in 2019, and it took about 2 years to get 1,000 followers. And I do curate that to make sure that, like, we're getting good followers. These are people actually in our area. We don't have, you know, people in different countries following us. Those aren't our customers. But I just wanted to give some context there. Like, it's been pretty slow. If you're trying to make sales off of your social media, I mean, that shouldn't be your whole reason for being on social media, but if you're trying to make sales from it, you're going to have to pay for a little bit of marketing if you want to get some traction with your followers and engagement. So just be aware of that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can do it organically, but you're going to have to work for it. And Facebook, literally only 6% of your followers will see your post if you don't boost it. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to do it. And I told a company that just wanted a presence, and that they stopped doing their ad budget. And I was like, look, here's the numbers from when you were doing, and it wasn't even a large budget. You don't have to have a large budget. You just need something.
Okay.
I was like, these were the numbers before. These are the numbers since you stopped doing an ad budget. Mm-hmm. And it was a significant drop. And I was like, yeah, and here's the math. It literally is about 6% of your followers see you.
So how much would you recommend that someone does budget for social media ads if they are just starting out?
I definitely don't break the bank on it, but a couple $100 can go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Like every month?
A monthly, yes. Yeah, okay. A couple $100 monthly can go a long way, because you don't have to put $100, $1,000 behind a boosted post or an ad. You can literally do, I think it's as little as like $3 and $5 that you can do. And if you target correctly and get it down, then that's really going to work well for you. Mm-hmm. And we'll get in front of your target market.
So something that I've always heard is, don't boost every post. Like, wait to see if you're already getting a little bit of good engagement on it, and then boost those posts. What do you think about that?
It depends on your following. Like, are you have a lot of active followers? Is that why you're getting that kickstart off at the beginning? Mm-hmm. And also what you're trying to get out of it. If you are trying to do sales on something or get clients on something, yes, you're going to need to do that. But like for us, so like if we have a current like promotion going on right now, I'm going to boost that post. But if I wanted to be like, oh, we just love Chattanooga, it's so beautiful, not necessarily need to boost that post. What's that going to do for me? It's just sharing and being active, because you don't want to go a week without being active. You don't really want to go 3 days without being active on any platform.
The reason that I wanted to talk about budget for a minute is because a lot of people have that misconception, oh, you have to pay to play. I have to boost all of my posts, or I have to create an ad for every post that I'm making. And that's really not true. There's a strategy behind that as well.
There's a strategy behind everything you do. Every comment you make, every like you make, every boosted post or non-boosted post. Yeah, you don't have to do every single one of them, but you do need to do something. Do you just want to, like, I have people that they pay for like a freelancer, me or an agency, and they just want a presence. I've had multiple people and they're like, I don't want to boost anything. I just want a presence. Just want somewhere to, like, if someone searches me, that I come up.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is fine, but it's like, if you're wanting to go and get clients from that, you might not necessarily get the results that you're looking for by not boosting those posts.
I think we should talk about which platforms would be good for which type of businesses.
Yes. If you're trying to do sales of any kind and really want to get a lot of click-through rate, Facebook. Facebook is still number one, still has the most people on it, still has all the best ratings and has the best proof of that it works. Instagram, if you're in like the hospitality or food, stuff like that, bars, like
Like if you have a product.
Yes. If you have a product to show off, clothes, bars, restaurants, hotels, tourism, people love to see that. It's all about who your consumer is as well. Like LinkedIn is better for service. If you are a, maybe you're a furniture sales place, Pinterest is probably going to be a great place for you. Don't throw a bunch of money at Pinterest because it can get kind of pricey, mm-hmm. but definitely have a presence there because you can get a big reach on Pinterest for not a lot if it's your target market. Mm-hmm. That is a big thing. Like if it's not your target market, you're not going to get that reach mm-hmm. that you're looking for.
So would you recommend Twitter to anyone or is it just for personal use?
If your target market is on Twitter, yes. But I've not seen or even read many statistics where Twitter worked well for a business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what about TikTok?
TikTok is hard because of the algorithms in TikTok. It's very hard. You have to do your hashtag research on TikTok. You have to do your music research. What's trending today might not be trending tomorrow on TikTok. Just because you made that cool dance video at your office with all your cool employees and you have a great work environment doesn't mean that it's going to show up on someone's For You page the next day.
Right. I will say I have seen great success for businesses that show like a behind the scenes or people go crazy about these packaging videos, like literally just boxing their products. I don't understand it.
I'm guilty. I watch those.
Yeah, me too. But I don't understand it.
And I've thought about making those because I do all the shipping and stuff. And I'm right. like, also, I don't really have a lot of time to take the time to make that TikTok video because we don't have a presence on TikTok. Mm-hmm. If I had a presence on TikTok, yes. But again, it's you have to put in the work and the effort to have that presence on TikTok.
Right. And is your customer on TikTok?
Yes.
They are?
I don't know. Just is your customer on TikTok? Oh, yes, you're just they agreeing have to with be. Me. I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure I have customers on TikTok, but I'm sure it would take me mm-hmm. a while to organically build a following on TikTok.
Right.
Because people don't necessarily follow a lot on TikTok and keep you on their page. They just scroll through their For You page, which is not usually people you follow.
Who should be using LinkedIn?
LinkedIn is kind of a hard one because it is a lot of business professionals. Mm-hmm. Like if you're doing sales, no. If you're doing like a customer, like a service, mm-hmm. yes, LinkedIn is better for you because maybe you're going to find that person that you're looking for. Like if you're looking for an agency who's marketing ads or maybe they're a financial agency or whatever, mm-hmm. then you're going to go probably find them on LinkedIn.
Right.
That's definitely very great for networking and finding different businesses, but I wouldn't necessarily use it for sales or to keep a presence there, like a daily presence, because mm-hmm. a LinkedIn post is going to last a lot longer.
Oh, yeah. I see things in my feed that were posted 3 weeks ago.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I go on there, my top post that I see, oh, this person posted 3 weeks, and it's because I interacted with that person, I share their stuff, and that's why they're going to be at my top, and mm-hmm. also want, and they probably haven't posted in 3 weeks.
Right, right. I used to have this misconception that LinkedIn was just for people looking for jobs, and that is no longer the case.
No, that is not.
Never. I was wrong, I can admit it.
Well, when we were in college, that's what they told us. Like, yeah. You have to have LinkedIn to get a job. You have to have LinkedIn mm-hmm. to network. You have to have LinkedIn. And now it's grown into more of a business platform for different mm-hmm. businesses to communicate.
Right. And post jobs, I will say that, but primarily for networking, not yes. no longer just hiring.
What is your favorite platform? Personally and business-wise? Because that can be a different answer.
I will say Instagram for both of them.
That is, and I'm same on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so for us, TSBDC, I feel like we've had great success with Instagram. Even though, like I mentioned, we only grew 1,000 followers in those 2 years, and it was all organic. I know that we have gotten clients from Instagram and just general awareness because we didn't really have a strong brand voice before, or just strong branding in general. And Instagram has really given us that platform for that. And I can say I know that we've gotten clients from it because I've gotten DMs that say, hey, I saw that client spotlight. That's exactly what I want to happen in my business. So how can I meet with a counselor? And I've onboarded them from there. So it's been really useful for business. And then, of course, personally, because I don't know, that's just how I keep up my friends and what's trending.
Yeah, Yes, I keep up with what's happening in the world, my friends, family, because I don't live anywhere near my family anymore, mm-hmm. and I love pictures. I spent probably a year going through my friends list on Instagram and curating to only see positive things that I want to see that make me happy and that I enjoy being on there. And then for as far as like business wise, I also like my feed is curated with mm-hmm. like with the Rustic House. We are in a bunch, several stores. I follow all the stores, go in there and like their post, or we'll use it to grow followers organically along with paid ads. A lot of our customers interact with us on there, comments, direct messages as well. I think as far as like for that business, we probably have more people interacting on Facebook, mm-hmm. but I enjoy interacting more with people on Instagram.
Yeah, I definitely love the community of it. Also, honorable mention to TikTok for personal use.
For personal use, definitely. Right. I will spend way too much time scrolling through there, laughing.
Right. Okay, Tristan, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for your expertise and giving your time.
Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Thanks for listening to How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend and be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you next week here on How to Business.